Blog Talk Radio.
Up next, the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark.
Good morning, sports fans. You are listening to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. I am the one, the only JP. Across the table from me is Mr. West Coast himself, Mark Foray. Mark, how are you doing this morning?
Doing pretty good. I got to say, I don't know what in the world is going out on the freeways out there, but boy, there are a bunch of people who are driving like maniacs, and you let me know that the St. Paddy's Day parade's coming up.
Yep, it's downtown starting at 9:30.
Maybe that's the problem. Maybe people are drunk already. But, I mean, there
it's
was at least...
highly possible conception.
At least 10 different times I saw somebody, like, yanking over, like, three lanes in between cars to hit, like, exits and stuff. And you're like, you don't need to do that. Think ahead, like, 4 seconds and, you know, get over a couple of lanes. It's like the same, it's like those idiots that don't use the yield sign at all. And you're like, thanks for causing a traffic jam for everybody else because you couldn't wait 4 seconds. Now we're all going to wait 20 extra minutes. But anyway.
That is true. We have a special guest on the phone again. Once again, we have Nate to D-O-double-G, Dog, calling in, our South Dakota boy. How you doing there, Nate? I know you're a little under the weather, and you're gonna try to last as long as you can here.
Yeah, guys. Thanks again for having me on. Hey, it's never too early to start drinking, guys. You know, St. Paddy's Day, I'm looking forward to the show.
Jameson has been flowing at 7 a.m.
I've got a bottle of nice Edadura at home, getting ready to drink. You know, just like the Irish do, of course. And you know, it should be a good time.
Well, let's get right into it today, guys. We've got a full slate of action. This is Championship Saturday, Conference Championship Saturday. The big games, of course, are North Carolina, Virginia, and Kansas and Baylor coming up later this afternoon along with a couple other ones. Mark, let's jump right in.
Well, you know me. I'm always in favor of the underdogs winning.
And I'll tell you what, there was an epic finish yesterday in college basketball, and I'm talking about UConn. That game was absolutely insane.
Now, I didn't even see the end of that. Give me a breakdown on how that
ended. They just showed it on, actually. I got SportsCenter on the TV. Quadruple overtime.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Oh,
makes
yeah.
The three
I saw
pointer.
That.
They go in and he makes the basically 74-foot shot.
Oh,
I don't know. Banked
that's what
it. Did he call the bank though? Is what I want to know.
Well, he's leading horse. He did well. You know, it's already been a weird conference tournament type thing,
it's
right?
It's been a weird basketball season.
It's just a weird season. You know, we got Xavier went down again.
They can't seem to go down.
Seton Hall. So Seton Hall and Creighton, they can't seem to beat either one of those teams.
They don't match up well with either of them.
No, and it just goes to show you, right, basketball is a matchup game.
It really
know?
Is. It is.
Because it's only 5-on-5. Do got to give out, I know I've got a lot of friends out there who are Indiana Hoosiers supporters. I like that team, and boy, a brutal loss.
That is a brutal loss.
Michigan hits that shot in the corner with zero time on the clock to win that game. It should have gone to overtime.
Yep.
They would have won in overtime. It's not going to hurt Indiana's chance of making the tournament. But, you know, they had made their way all the way up to number 10 overall. They had won the Big Ten. They had a chance to give themselves a real nice seed. I don't know if that's going to hurt them or not, but could knock them down a seed or two.
It could knock them down a seed or two. I mean, that's just all around, it was just a bad loss for Indiana after they've had such a good year. I have to say that. Let's look down the other one. Michigan State crushes OSU in the first game. LSU
shocker.
Top Tennessee. Ben Simmons sitting out early even in foul trouble. You got to look at that one and say, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, I mean, well, the fact that they were able to win, even though he had to sit so early, and, I mean, he's kind of been, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's kind of the consensus number one pick for, you know, for the NBA draft. Or him or that other.
They're talking about him right now.
Yeah.
As number one, they think he needs to put on a little bit more weight. He's almost averaging a double-double in college as we speak. Basically,
that's amazing.
It really is, and he doesn't have a team around him. That's the thing that really looks a little weird because, I mean, if he has a bad game, they get blown out.
Right.
You know,
hey,
right.
Guys, I got some news coming across the ticker here. Just interrupt you for a second. University of Denver expected to hire Rodney Billups as their head coach, brother of former NBA guard Chauncey Billups. That's big
wow.
news for the Yeah.
They have not been able to field a really good basketball team in a long time. I really like that pickup. When we a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk a little DU hockey. They are actually making their run into their conference play right now. They won last night.
You know, it's kind of surprising that Chauncey Billups hasn't been hired to run the Nuggets or to coach the Nuggets because Avalanche, they now have Wah and Sakic. I'm guessing at some point Forsberg's going to join them.
I'm sure he will.
And then we've got the Broncos with Elway and Kubiak and, you know, all those folks. And so, you know, I mean, the Rockies, they don't really have all-time greats, really, but
no.
they could maybe get Larry Walker, Andres Galarraga, and
Todd Helton
back.
Why not? You know, maybe Matt Holliday when he retires or something. Maybe they can bring him in. Just anything to inject life into that franchise. let's see what else happened in college. You know, Michigan State rolling was not really a surprise.
No,
it's good to see the number two seed looking like a number two seed. You know,
yeah.
overall, we got Kansas later today. Now Kansas destroyed. Now Kansas, I thought they rolled over Baylor last night. No?
Yeah, you're right.
Am I completely off on that? Because I thought they were way ahead on Baylor going in the second half last night.
I think you're right. I think I had that backwards.
They did. No, it actually ended up pretty close.
It's 70 to 66. Kansas, West Virginia today. West Virginia's been looking like gangbusters too in the Big 12 conference.
And you got the Villanova game coming up today, and they
yep,
have to win that.
They're playing at MSG.
Now Virginia slipped by Miami, and that was a little surprising.
That was surprising.
You know?
I told you, Miami's one of those teams that they can sneak up on you real quick.
They're one of those sexy picks to like, you know, be.
They're
your,
having a
your
really
underdog.
Bad end of the season right now.
Yeah. It's all about how you play going into the tournament, right?
It is, and I like the Pac-12 right now. Utah advances the Pac-12 title in Vegas. They're going to play Oregon. Oregon has won 6 straight games over to the U.
And it was nice to see Oregon beat Arizona, although it's crazy to think that Seattle's about 4 points of beating Arizona. Now, that game wasn't quite as close as the score, right, because CU was actually down by quite a bit and going to the fouling game. But they were catching up to him, and that would have been a nice little boost for CU. Obviously, that's our local team. We'd like to see them make the tournament. I do think the Colorado State team is going to make the tournament. I think they've got a strong enough body of work.
I think they do, too. Now, Nate, do you think Colorado, just the University of Colorado, is on the bubble right now and CSU is in?
No. I think had CSU won against Fresno, that would have really, you know, made a good push for them. But I think CU's in no matter what. They have, like, I think it was the 29th RPI, and no team that ranked that high has ever missed the tournament. So I'm sure they dropped slightly with the loss to Arizona, but I don't see them. From what I understand, they're looking at a 7 or an 8 seed, guys.
No, we'll take that. That's one of the better seeds they've had. And
yeah.
I mean, they have a good team again this year. It's nice to see CU putting together some good basketball years because that's really never been a calling card for our local boys.
No, it never has.
It's always been, you know, like trying to compete in football, which is hard. I always wonder why it's so hard to get players to come to CU. I mean, it's a gorgeous area. It's an amazing, you know, place to live and all that kind of stuff. The only thing I can think of is that we don't necessarily have the most exciting nightlife. Although, for a college student, Boulder's a pretty fun town.
Boulder's a really fun town.
You know, the only thing I went to school there, and I loved living there for 10 years.
I lived there for 9.
Yeah, I mean, we know the downtown bars. You know, the Sink is awesome. You're going up and down the hill. You know, you get the Pearl Street, you know, hitting Old Chicago.
God,
the
I haven't had a
beer,
pizza
and the Attic
the
and Round Midnight. And yeah, I mean, just all in the Boundary used to be there. And yeah.
Mark, do you think it has something to do with the academic piece, maybe? You know, I know CU is, you know, it's pretty high standards for academics. Do you think that maybe has something to do with the lack of, you know, recruiting? Or is it just, you know, we've been bad for so long that nobody wants to come here? I mean, I don't know what it is, but maybe that has something to do with it. What are your thoughts on that?
I always wonder if it's exposure, you know? The fact that they may not get visualized as well, you know, and the fact that CU doesn't often win the the Pac-12, or at least hasn't yet in basketball, or go real deep in the tournaments.
No.
They kind of had a bad – they haven't had that much luck in the tournament.
They haven't.
Bad
loss.
And, you know, it's like with the CU football team, the same thing. Exposure's a problem. But because there's so many linebackers that have come out of CU who have been very good linebackers, mm-hmm. linebackers will come.
They will.
And running backs a little bit. But it's hard for us to get real good receivers, real good quarterbacks, real good safety. I think that kind of hurts us.
And I think that comes from the coaching carousel that we
to have the same coach for just 10 years or something. You know? Like, you know, you get other major programs, and they've had the same coach for 35 years, 40 years.
I mean, they're definitely investing in all the facilities up there. It's you know, we need to see some production coming up.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Boyle has been pretty good, guys. You know, I think they've made it to the tournament three times in the last 5 or 6 years now, and they won a game or two a couple years
I think
back.
Right.
Well, you know, like, I remember when they had Alec Burke.
I just wish
that Alec Burke had not jumped to the NBA so fast.
Yeah.
And I realized he probably thought this might be the best team that CU's going to have while I'm here,
and
I got to get there and make my money. And he's doing okay in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken. He's had an okay, you know, okay career. Nothing, massive. But, you know, I do worry about, you know, maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's just there's not enough. We're not able to generate enough hype, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that, really. I mean.
Well, there's the other thing that I'd like to bring up is there's so much to do in Boulder besides go to a basketball game or go to a football game.
That's another thing, yeah. They do have trouble selling out that stadium, although
they did
so well against the Arizona game.
Yeah.
When they stormed the court. That was gorgeous. But I have been to a few CU basketball games in the last few years, and, yeah, there have been some times where you go there and, well, you can sit anywhere you want.
There's hardly anybody. I've seen that before. I mean,
you
know, the only –
1,000 maybe.
Yeah, the only other team that used to bring in a crowd here was Kansas, and that was mostly Kansas fans.
Right, because at least, you know, it was a powerhouse, right?
Like, yeah.
It's like the Rockies filling up the stadium when the Cubs or the Yankees would come by, right? You'd have a residual effect or whatever.
And the
really
Yankees will be here this year.
Oh, darn it. Because we know the Rockies are going to be amazing again. Is there anything else really big? I mean, we did have North Carolina just destroyed Notre Dame.
They embarrassed Notre Dame.
Yeah, that was a little surprising. I thought Notre Dame might be okay.
Notre Dame's a little bit down this year, but you'd think they'd put a better team on the court.
Yeah.
After knocking off Duke, guys, I thought that they would show up for that game. I was really surprised that they let North Carolina manhandle them like that.
And we all love seeing Duke getting, you know, squashed. So now tell me, fellas, I'm going to do some bets today on college basketball. So I'd like to get a little input from the squad. If anyone wants to call in, I'll take advice as well. The two games that I'm really looking to gamble on, now I'd like to gamble on North Carolina, Virginia. I am leaning on North Carolina upsetting Virginia, but you never know what's going to happen, of course.
What's the line on that?
It's only 1.5.
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah.
That's
a
scary, scary.
Yeah, so it's kind of like it's just whoever wins, basically, is probably going to get it. The other one that I was looking at was the Kansas-West Virginia game. Now, that's a 4-point spread for Kansas. It seems like Kansas should cover that with almost no problem.
They should, but West Virginia has been surprising a lot of people.
They're playing good ball right now.
Yeah, they are.
I hate betting favorites. You know, another game that would be interesting to bet is Seton Hall versus Villanova. Villanova is a 6.5-point favorite. That's a big spread.
That is a big spread.
For basketball. For a big-time basketball school.
I'll tell you what. Villanova plays historically well at Madison Square Garden, and that's where they're playing.
Oh, is that where they hold their tournament?
Yeah, the Big East holds it at Madison Square Garden. They do play very well there.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are the three games that I'm really looking at. So if anybody wants to throw in their 2 cents on those, I'd like to see, you know, who I should bet on. But got to get on the betting train. It's time. So Connecticut Temple.
Surprised you guys aren't talking about the Oklahoma-West Virginia finish. Did you guys see the end of that game?
Did see the end of that game. That kid is
Buddy,
awesome.
Buddy hit a half-court shot, but then it was overturned by replay.
Yep, he released it about a tenth of a second too late.
Yep.
I knew they went to the review. It was a great shot. He just needed
a
tenth of a second
shot.
More.
Yeah.
Do you think that if someone from the 1960s or so were to be transported to our current time and watched a game, do you think they would just be just in shock watching what it's like now compared to what it was like back then?
Especially with the
instant replays and things.
Well, Oscar Robinson now keeps talking about Steph Curry and how he wouldn't have been able to do that when he played.
I heard that. You know, I think he's got some validity there. It's just like when Jordan was saying,
yeah,
he played these days, you know, he'd be scoring 55 points a game.
Yeah, it's a different league. It's a different – I mean, even college is different these days with your one-and-doners, two-and-doners. I mean, my favorite team from
one-and-done is almost expected.
Yeah, my favorite team back in the day was the Running Rebels from UNLV, and they were all seniors when they left.
That one coach who looked like he had cancer even before he got
Tarkanian.
You know, when he had
Jerry Tarkanian,
massive dark circles
under his
eyes.
They beat Duke by 30 at the old McNichols Arena here in Denver.
What was that, Nate?
He used to gnaw those. I said Tark the Shark. He used to gnaw those towels.
Oh,
yeah, man.
He went through a lot of towel game.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Anderson gnawing on his shirts, you know. It's got to be one of those nervous habits, you know. Got to kind of get through.
Hey, let's get into some automatic bids. These are conference tournament champions. Real quick, we already know they're in. We got Austin Peay out of the Ohio Valley Conference. Record overall, and this is going to be an interesting, they'll probably be a 16 seed. They're at 18-17 on the year. Best non-conference win was Wofford at 84-77. Last tournament appearance was 2008. So obviously they're going to get to play a play-in or so on and so forth.
The Colonels. And
Yes. Once
again, you look at that word Colonels and wonder who in the heck decided to spell Colonel with two L's and no R's.
You got amazing. The Chattanooga Mocs out of the Southern Conference.
A mock?
I have no idea, but I'll tell you what, they're 29-5, likely seed of 13. I mean, their best win is Daytona, 61-59.
They're beating the powerhouse.
Farley Dickinson gets in. They're 18-14, likely seed 16. This is the one I really, really like. Florida Gulf Coast probably was not going to get in. They go off and beat University of in their conference championship in really exciting fashion. They're going to get a 16 seed, it looks like. Gonzaga, after they've had an up-and-down season, got in by winning the West Coast Conference. And
how is Gonzaga not, like, part of the Pac-12? That seems odd.
You know, it seems like it should be – the Pac-12 does not like to put in teams that aren't going to play football, I think.
Oh, makes sense.
But
just because Gonzaga's been so good.
They've been so good,
you know,
over the last
no longer,
15, 20 years.
Yeah, they're no
in
longer
basketball.
A Cinderella team.
No,
you expect them to be in there.
The Green Bay Phoenix out of the Horizon League gets in. They'll probably – seed. The Iona Gales.
Now, we've never seen a 16 seed win a game yet, have we? We saw it when they come close, right?
There's a couple that have come. Lehigh came very, very close, I believe, one year.
Okay. I don't think they've ever knocked off a number one.
I don't think it's happened. Northern Iowa, great. This is another great team. Best non-conference win. They beat North Carolina.
Beautiful.
Yeah. South Dakota State. There they go. The Jackrabbits. Out of the Summit.
Yeah, go Jackrabbits.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, man.
Where are they in South Dakota? Are they in Sioux Falls?
No, they're in Brookings, which is about an hour north of Sioux Falls. But they've got a great coach up there, guys. I can't remember his name. He's been there for some time. I'm real excited to see if they can make some noise in the tournament. They got some great shooters.
They beat Oral Roberts, and they beat Denver. So.
They did. The record's 26-7. Best non-conference win, they beat TCU. Let's see it. The UNC Asheville Bulldogs get in from the Big South. UNC Wilmington Seahawks.
And you know what? If the Jackrabbits could get that number 12 seed, that number 12 seed is a ripe upset seed.
It really is. I'd love to see
that. I don't know. That might be a little high.
Well, I mean, 12 or 13 is what the prediction is. Of course, we'll know much more after the tournaments are over.
We'll know much more tomorrow.
The best thing that could happen to them is to have the favorites win in the tournament so that they kind of hold on to their spot. So.
Yep. I like the last one here that are already in, the Yale Bulldogs out of the Ivy League.
Yeah.
Last tournament appearance, 1962.
But now there's that whole thing that happened with that one player from Yale. Remember that Jack Montauk?
Yeah, that did happen. They did win their way in this year, unlike last year where Harvard did beat them at the end.
But I'm just saying, without him, are they going to be able to compete? Because he's gone now because of the sexual misconduct.
I'm not really sure. I mean, if you look, they're predicting a 12 or 13 seed. Without him, they might go down to a 15 or a 14 or a 15.
Well, I don't think they'll dock him a seed for him being gone. I'm just saying, is their team going to be half the team?
I think they're just after last year. I think they're just happy to get in there.
Yeah, true.
It was always happy to get in. It was a heartbreaker last year. I can tell you that, guys. We're going to go to a quick commercial break here. We want to thank SageMediaLLC.com and EKFit.net for being sponsors of the game. We're going to be right back, guys.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, sports fans, of the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We are coming live to you from the beautiful Veranda High Point apartment complex in South Denver. We do have another caller on the phone. Let's bring him in here. We're going to go into a little NFL free agency action. Caller, you're on the air. Who are you and where are you from?
Hey, what's going on? This is Captain Chavez from Colorado. How you guys doing this morning?
Oh, boy.
What's up?
Doing great. Hey, Captain Chavez. Would love to get your input on a couple of bets we're looking to do today. We know that your gambling expertise is kind of unmatched. We got the Seton Hall Villanova game at a 6.5 spread. We got the Kansas West Virginia game at a 1-point spread, and we got the North Carolina Virginia game, and that spread. I got to find that one again real quick. That one is 2 points. Any feelings on those?
Well, I got to tell you what, I'm still trying to get off the floor after last night's Oregon victory. I tell you what, I was watching that thing on a GameCast, and you talk about pain and agony. I mean, that thing was refreshing, up 4 with 3 seconds to go, and all of a sudden it goes to overtime? I about had a heart attack last night. But I got to tell you what, the North Carolina-Virginia game, I think the winner of that is a guaranteed number one seed. So I just feel like North Carolina – I feel like they have to be the overall number one, so I got to go with Carolina. As far as Kansas, West Virginia, I mean, Huggy Bear coming into March, I like West Virginia. I feel like I like Kansas and the tourney, but as far as starting out, I got to go with West Virginia right now. And Seton Hall, I think Seton Hall is one of those dark teams that you don't want to see in that 8-9 seed coming for a one seed. So I got to say I probably like Seton Hall in that game. So what do you guys think about those?
You know, I love all three of those calls. That's kind of why I was throwing those out there, and I wanted to see. You know, for our listeners here, Captain Chavez was one of the people that was with me in Vegas when we were watching the refresh. That's when we got the win on the Green Bay game, we got the win on the Bronco game, and we also got the CU win over Oregon, as well as
And let's go, Pauly. And let's go, Pauly. You got to throw some Cal Poly out
Pauly.
There. Little love for the Cal Poly always. And I'll definitely coming down. There's a couple big games tonight. You got Oregon and Utah for the Pac-12 championship, so I'll definitely be going with the Oregon Ducks on that one. So, and did you guys throw out your number one seeds? Do we have consensus on the top four, or what are you guys still going with? What's your top four so far?
It's hard to make that prediction. We got too many games still coming up. I mean, obviously, you think Kansas is going to get one. Like you said, it could be Virginia or North Carolina could sneak in there. I think Villanova is probably a lock for one if they keep winning. Michigan State, obviously. I mean, who's going to beat Michigan State? I mean, maybe Maryland, maybe Iowa. Is Iowa even in it? I think Iowa. I don't even know if they're still going.
No, Iowa's out. Iowa lost to Illinois.
Your bus, really. I mean, if Maryland doesn't beat them, I think Michigan State's locked.
Yeah, those are my four picks as well.
Yeah, I feel like even if Virginia loses tonight, I think Virginia has a shot to get a number one seed. I really feel like. I feel like Tony Bennett, I feel like this is one of his best teams. So watch out, Virginia and the tourney as maybe a one, maybe a two. I'm not a fan of Villanova. I think they dropped to the two line. They got to beat Xavier in the finals. And if they do, there's possibility for a number one seed. But I still think they're sitting on that two line. I just don't trust Villanova.
Xavier's out of it.
Yeah, Seton Hall beat Xavier. They're playing Seton Hall at MSU.
Oh, sorry about that. My bad. I'm all fired up this morning. So sorry about that.
There's a lot of stuff going on. We got another caller.
We have another caller on the line there. Caller, state your name and where are you from?
Hello, this is Mike from Chicago. I am a first-time caller, long-time listener. I know you guys talk about college basketball. But I would love to know a little bit about the NFL free agency, specifically about my team, the Eagles, and what they have done so far.
Yeah, you know, we've got a couple of Eagles fans on the line.
We've got
an Eagles host here that's a fan, our Eagles fan for a host here. So the Eagles were busy in free agency. Big start. In fact, this was one of the busiest first two, three, you know, free agency days that I can remember in the NFL. Maybe it's only because we've got the show now, and so I'm really paying attention real close. But a lot of big moves. Now
there have been a lot of big moves.
So let's just run them down real quick, and then we can talk about the moves. So number one, they brought in offensive guard Brandon Brooks to shore up the line. They brought in the Rams safety Rodney. How do you say his name? Is it McLeod? McLeod? I cannot say his name.
McLeod.
I have no idea. $37 million over 5 years. They brought in backup QB Chase Daniel, and we'll get to why they needed a new backup QB in a second. We signed cornerback Ron Brooks. They signed Bills linebacker Nigel Bradham. They also brought in cornerback Leotis McKelvin. So they've really kind of shored up that secondary, which is a big problem last year.
Yeah.
And finally, they gave up Kiko Alonso, who's just been a huge disappointment everywhere he's been,
as well as
Byron Maxwell and their first one pick. But they've now picked up the number 8 pick in the NFL draft. Fellas, what do you think about the moves?
I personally like the moves, and I have a funny, fainting suspicion of where they're going with the 8th pick in the draft. But I'm gonna let Mike, the other Eagles fan on the phone line here, give me his impressions of what he thinks about all those moves.
I'm excited. I'm very excited that we're moving back to 4-3. I think Fletcher Cox and Vinny Curry fit that system much better. I'm also excited that they're able to dump the salary and get up to the number 8th pick. I'm thinking that, you know, maybe they're going to go with one of the two top tackles or one of the two top corners or maybe even Miles Jack at number 8. What do you think about that? Do you think that they could actually go linebacker? Because I know that hasn't been a need, but this Miles Jack seems like he's one of those special players.
Is that now the guy you're talking about them drafting? Is he a linebacker?
Yeah, he's a linebacker, outside linebacker.
Okay.
Well, Mike, I know you're disappointed about the Eagles trading away their quarterback of the future, but I think I think Miles Jack would be the pick there.
Well, I mean, I think that the Eagles made a great move by bringing in three guys into the secondary, because that secondary was just getting throttled last year.
They were.
I mean,
and Maxwell looked horrible last year.
Yeah, and especially when you consider that the three teams that they were playing had, Kirk Cousins was not really on fire early in the year. There was no Tony Romo for most of the year.
Nope.
And, Eli Manning and the Giants were just in complete disarray with no offensive line, no running game. And the Eagles had trouble stopping most of those teams.
They did. And Victor Cruz, if they're going to keep him, they had to take a pay cut. I know that. Here's your Dolphins.
And now, Captain Chavez, what did you think about the move the Eagles made this year? Oh, maybe we don't have him anymore.
Oh, I think we lost him.
Are you there, Captain Chavez?
Hey, sorry about that. I had you on mute, so I apologize for that. But, yeah, I like the moves. I mean, how long is it going to take to clean up the mess from Chip Kelly? I mean, I love the move in the beginning, but, I like the fact that they're cleaning house. I like the fact they got rid of some high-end draft picks. And, I like the guy that Rigner's talking about out of UCLA. I mean, as a fullback, I mean, as an offensive player, the guy scored as many touchdowns as a lot of other multiple players. But the guy is just an unbelievable defensive presence. And at the linebacking core, I think that'd be a huge upgrade for him.
Now, are you happy that they got rid of Kiko Alonso and Maxwell? Do you think that those guys were bringing the defense down?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, I really was a big fan of Alonso coming out of Oregon as well. I mean, the guy was a baller, but the guy cannot stay on the field. And Maxwell was just, I mean, he's just burnt toast out there. Every single time the guy was out there, he's just getting smoked. So, I mean, availability. Who's going to be on the field? Who's going to be able to play? And I think that's important for the Birds this season.
Yes, that's huge. And you think about Alonso. I can't remember the stat. I was reading it somewhere. But he missed like 13 games in the last 2 years or
more.
Yeah,
he's been injury prone.
So that is, like you're saying, you could be the most talented player in the world. But if you're never on the field, what difference does it make? Not helping your team win.
No, you're not.
You're not going to be there. Especially in the NFL, when you get banged up, you're not going to be there in the playoff time.
Guys,
very true. Very
true. What's the prospect's name, the linebacker out of Ohio State? Anyone know what I'm talking about? He's got to be. Yeah, Bosa. He's got to be a top 10 pick. What do you think about him in a Philadelphia uniform?
They're actually thinking he might be top 5 pick.
Oh wow!
I'm gonna, they're thinking way up there. I'm gonna throw this out here. I know we just got rid of the Dirty Sanchez over to the Broncos and let them have that problem. And
now listen to what's coming over the wire.
What do you got?
Leading Green Nation.
Uh-oh.
And fellas, tell us what you think. The new rumor is the Eagles are going to pick up Ezekiel Elliott.
I could see that happen, depending on how it falls. I think with the addition to Chase Daniel as an emergency quarterback, I think if Paxton Lynch is sitting there out of Memphis, they might get their future quarterback right there.
Well, I mean, there's always that mentality of got to win now.
Because
right?
Bradford's going to get hurt. We already know that. It's a foregone conclusion Bradford's going to get hurt.
He made it through last year.
Well, he made it through much of last year. But he's going to get hurt at some. So, I mean, do you have faith in Chase Daniel? And in this draft, there are a couple quarterbacks, you can take, especially, Paxton, who's 6'7", 250 pounds, and has a cannon for an arm and can run.
So, from all three of you guys that are Eagles fans, at the number 8 pick, who do you want the Eagles to take? Not who do you think they'll take, but who would you prefer them to take?
Mike, why don't you throw that one out
Miles,
there?
I'll go with Miles Jack. I want the linebacker. I think he's a huge difference maker and can really help that defensive line. He can cover the tight end. He can do it all.
Is he an inside or an outside linebacker?
He's, I believe, outside.
Yeah, he's an outside linebacker.
So he can kind of take place of Kiko Alonso,
yeah.
Basically, and really kind of shore up. Now, is he a weak side or strong
yeah.
side? Do we know?
Not sure, but, I mean, with Kendrick's speed and his speed, I mean, they're saying that he's probably one of the fastest linebackers to come out in years. One
well,
of the only linebackers that can – oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Free, can give him a more of a, pick up some – or open up some more blitzing lanes. And, because, boy, the Eagles' defense was not intimidating last year.
No, they were horrible.
And that'll kill you. I mean, offense will come, and now also, are you guys – fans of the new coach that the Eagles have hired?
I'm definitely a fan. He's been with the Eagles in the past. He's coached with Andy Reid. I think he's going to bring discipline to the team. And he's got that offensive mind, and you can already see his mind at work of making these moves and try to bring a little more discipline back to the team.
What do you think, Chicago, Mike?
I'm okay with it. I like Jim Schwartz as a defense coordinator. I think he's going to really make the huge difference. I kind of look back to when Andy Reid and Jim Johnson. Andy Reid was not known. Jim Johnson was a defense coordinator for a few teams, and I kind of look at the same situation where Doug Peterson's coming in a little bit unknown, and you know they backed him up with a strong defense coordinator, and hopefully we can repeat.
And what's even more impressive is that Jim Johnson was also winning the NASCAR titles at the same time. So never mind. I don't think you guys are catching my joke.
Yeah, I got your joke. Captain Chavez, what do you think about the coach?
I like it. I mean, I'm not a fan of, being with Andy Reid for so long. It's hard to go back to that Andy Reid tree, but the guy can manage the clock and, you know, not run on every single down. I think I'm okay with that and not use all your timeouts before 2 minutes into the game. So we'll see if that goes.
And you got to think, you know, after Andy Reid took that team to copious titles and NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl, and then going to Chip Kelly and just a train wreck, I would think anything going back to anything more similar to Andy Reid would probably be a bonus. So the big reason that the Eagles had to bring in Chase Daniel was they let go their backup quarterback, Mr. Mark Dirty Sanchez.
Butt fumble.
And who went to the Broncos. Now, this is a big deal. The Broncos had a crazy first few days of free agency. And not good days. Malik Jackson went for the money. He got paid an unbelievable salary by the Jaguars. He's not nearly as good as the money they're giving him, which I think is $16 million a year or $17 million. It's just
you're close to that number there.
That's crazy. And then here's the big thing that no one was expecting. Brock Osweiler chooses to go to the Texans because they offered him $74 million over 4 years, a massive payday for a 7-start quarterback. His reasoning was he likes the offensive system of O'Brien over Kubiak. Personally, I'm thinking some of it had to do with that unjustified benching in the San Diego game where the Broncos' offense played terrible, but it was not Brock's fault. It was just terrible play other players on the offense. And I think he was sore, but that was the Broncos' excuse to get Peyton Manning back in there so we could have one more run in the championship. Peyton Manning played terrible in the playoffs. They're lucky to have won the Super Bowl, even though he was abysmal. But the Broncos have now brought in Sanchez because they had no other quarterback besides their third stringer. Now, I'm not too I like this move, actually, because the rumors had been the Broncos were looking at Kaepernick or RG3.
Which is a horrible rumor.
Yeah, I can't tell you how disappointed I will be if either one of those jokes gets signed by the Broncos. Look, just like with Michael Vick, when you are a scramble-first, not very accurate throwing quarterback, you're going to fail in the NFL. You're going to be good for 9 to 15 games because you're fast, you're agile, you're new, you're fresh. But once they figure out your tendency, once they figure out how to teach their defenses to follow you, defensive coordinators will eat you alive. Kaepernick, in my opinion, will probably never have more than a 6-win season ahead of him as a starter. RG3's got a little more talent, a much better head on his shoulders. He could probably go 8-8. But both of these guys are not very accurate.
They're not
very good. I mean, they have strong arms, but they're not good arms. And they're run-first guys. And I just don't think that ever wins in the NFL. I think the Broncos need that. The Broncos have a good defense. Now that they've got Sanchez, you know, maybe they get Fitzgerald, maybe they get somebody else to come in and QB. But if not, Sanchez led the Jets to the AFC Championship game. The Broncos have a stellar defense, and if they could now use their money shore up the line in the running game, Sanchez can lead them back to the playoffs.
Well, here's something that you have to worry about. If they get some big linemen in there, I mean, if Sanchez goes diving into the line and puts his face in somebody's butt and fumbles, I mean, you have to. We know he can do that at any point. I mean, we've watched him do it. We watched him throw terrible interceptions.
But what was the other option? I mean, now,
the whole thing.
Sanchez has never had good receivers. He's never had a decent receiver. And he's never had a good offensive line. He's never had a good
You're right.
He's never had an intelligent offensive coach. I mean, Rick Ryan is a defensive guy.
He's got that USC curse coming out of USC, where none of those quarterbacks have really.
Well, Carson Palmer's had a good career, and that can't win in the playoffs.
He can't win in the. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He can't win in the playoffs there, but.
Well,
I don't know. It's an interesting pickup for the Broncos. I think the money and everything made sense.
Mm-hmm.
I know why Brock Osweiler went to, besides the money, gone to the Texans. He wants to learn under Bill O'Brien, who coached Tom Brady. That's the same thing that Christian Hackenberg from Penn State is the reason he left. I think Christian Hackenberg is going to go undrafted, and you're going to see the Texans pick him up for a league minimum because he wants to be with Bill O'Brien.
And you got
to
be honest. I mean, the you know, that is a little concerning, especially when you think that both Brock and Manning's QBRs were not good.
No,
I'll tell you why Brock went to the Texans. It's called money. I mean, as much as he wants to learn under Bill O'Brien, guys, I mean, it's all about that guaranteed paycheck, you know. I know the Broncos were offering him in the neighborhood of $30 million guaranteed, and I think the Texans were closer to $40 million. So, I mean, to me, that pretty much tells the story.
I think $37 million is what the guarantee was.
Yeah,
and,
you know,
I think it was $7.
$7 million is a lot of money, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
You know, these numbers get thrown around like they're, like, you know, like they're these crazy numbers get thrown around, but let's be honest, that's a lot of cash. I mean, all of us would be pretty happy to get that. And $18.5 million is what Brock is looking at per year. I mean, $20 million is a top-flight quarterback, so he's getting close to top-flight quarterback money, and it's really not a lot. I mean, it's only a four-year deal. So he's going to be 28 or 29 when he expires.
Yeah.
He can sign another five-year deal for another.
I mean, it's the perfect little contract for him to, you know, get to the Texans. He's got some weapons down there.
Yeah.
And
they brought in Lamar Miller.
Yeah, they did.
So.
I think the Texans made a great move, quite frankly.
Do you think it's possible the Broncos bring in Arian Foster?
You guys, one thing I think we're kind of overlooking, too, is the defensive factor. I mean, look at Kaepernick when he did make it to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. That was an incredible defense. Last year, the Broncos won the Super Bowl with defense. Manning was terrible. I mean, all Sanchez has to do, come in and be serviceable if that Broncos defense is even, you know, 80% of what they were last year, they're going to be right there at the end again. You know, I mean, a quarterback is important, but you can see over the last, you know, 5-10 years what a great defense can do for an average quarterback. So if he just comes in, doesn't make mistakes, and then they can, you know, they need a running game, obviously. That's going to make a big difference. Can they keep C.J. Anderson, or do they bring in another piece? But that defensive piece is really the key.
C.J. Anderson signed a tender with Miami, and the Broncos have till Tuesday to match it. Now, Captain Chavez, are you still on the line there? I mean, do you have any opinion on what the Broncos have done or what's happened to them?
Well, I definitely think they had a plan with losing Brock. I definitely think that, I compare this to when a college coach jumps to the NFL and he passes on the guy that was his signal caller in college. I mean, if they knew what they had in Brock, and if they're not going to sign him, they're going to let him go. I mean, maybe they gambled because of what they got to play Vaughn coming up, but maybe they thought he just didn't have it. Maybe they just didn't think he was their guy moving forward, and they didn't want to pay $17 to $19 million a year, which is crazy. I mean, that's just unreal. So, you know, I don't think the move's crazy because they won with defense. They didn't get anything out of Manning, and they still won the Super Bowl. So I think it's fine moving forward.
It'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, they did sign one lineman already. They signed Donald Stevenson from the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be getting Clady back. And although I heard if he's not willing to restructure, they might crazy talk. But you know, let's say that they match the contract for C.J. Anderson, which it's not a bad contract. It's only about $5 million a year, and C.J. has talent. Last year there was no line, and the quarterback play was so bad that I think it made C.J. Anderson look a lot worse than he is. I think CJ could be a fantasy darling again next year. But if they bring him back and sign Arian Foster, maybe pick up somebody in the draft, pick up two or three linemen in the draft, maybe sign another free agent lineman, bulk up that line, get it strong again, get it healthy again, get a good running game going. I don't see any reason why the Broncos can't compete or even be better than they were last year.
Better than last year? Well, that's a stretch.
If they had any offense at all, they'd have been a much better team.
Oh, of course.
So, I mean, if they could give any kind of an offense, and like Nate says, all they need is about 80% of what they had on defense last year.
Yeah.
They'd still be one of the best, most dominating defenses. As long as they've got Von Miller, he may be the best player in the defensive player in the NFL. Got to be close. I mean, J.J. Watt obviously is up there.
You could flip a coin with those two.
Yeah, and then he
might be the best player. That guy might be the best player in the NFL. I mean,
they always talk about, to be great, you don't have to be great all the time, to be great when it matters. And that was kind of the knock on Vaughn the first couple of years, was that he hadn't really shown up in the big games. But then, this year, the guy took over the playoffs.
He did.
He was the playoffs.
He was the playoffs. He really took over everything. Guys, so stick on the phones with us. We're going to be taking a quick commercial break. Mark, when you're getting up in the morning and you really, really need to rejuice yourself, re-energize yourself, what do you do?
Well, you can always look to ekfit.net. They can get you those supplemental shakes, and they can also get you, which is the most important thing, which is on a good exercise program. If you've got the right system, a P90X, a Beachbody program, something that's getting you the right kind of exercise to match your nutrition, you're going to see incredible results, great energy, and feel great all day long.
Yeah, we would also like to thank Sage Media for being one of our sponsors for websites, graphic design, social media, and much, much more. Sage Media will build and manage your company brand. In fact, they designed our own Sports Offensive logo. Contact Kyle over at SageMediaLLC.com. That's SageMediaLLC.com. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Welcome back to the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We want to thank Captain Chavez and Chi-Town Mikey for calling in and giving their insight. Mark, should we jump at the last part of this free agency? I'd like to talk about Kaepernick, because this shows you the disarray that the 49ers are in. Right after they come out and say that Kaepernick's their man, Kaepernick asked to be traded.
I think a big part of that is probably that Kaepernick knows how bad the GM is and how little chance Chip Kelly has of turning that train wreck around after demolishing the Eagles. What are the odds? I mean, the 49ers GM may be the only dumber player personnel guy than Chip Kelly in the NFL. And I think what's also crazy is that Kaepernick actually said that he would prefer to play for the Browns to the Broncos.
I know.
Now, I get that, right? Because I've been saying from the very start, this guy's an overrated QB, not very talented. He's not that good of a ball player. And why not go where the expectations are at the floor?
Yeah, that's exactly where they are.
You come to Denver, people are expecting a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And
he's going to sit there in the locker room and whine and cry when he has a bad game.
Yeah, and you've got knowledgeable fans in Denver. You don't have knowledgeable fans in Cleveland because they've gotten so used to having terrible teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you got a team like, you know, if you got a city like Denver where every single person only cares about the Broncos, everything else is just something to take time away until the new Broncos season starts. So going to Cleveland, that's where all the hype is around the Cavaliers and LeBron, which let's just throw in real quick. There is a rumor now that Irving and LeBron are not meshing well after Kevin Love and LeBron did not mesh
well. Yeah, that's been a rumor now for the last week.
And LeBron may be leaving with his opt-out clause at the end of the season.
Yes, I've heard that very, very much on another sports show. That's going to be an interesting situation because that team's falling apart right now.
And maybe you send both LeBron and Kevin Durant to Golden State, and you could see if you get the first undefeated season in history.
I don't think you're going to see we have another caller on the phone here.
Oh,
I don't think you're going to see LeBron going up there.
No.
The fact that he doesn't mesh with any of those guys. And, I mean, they just put 81 points up on the Blazers in the first half.
Oh. Yeah. No, why would they want – they wouldn't want LeBron's personality, I don't think.
Okay, we're going to bring in the next caller here. Caller, you're on with JP and Mark on the Sports Offensive. Who are you? Where are you from? And I just asked them. Never
mind. This is Matt in Denver. And, I mean, I heard you talk – what's up?
No, go ahead.
I heard you guys talking about free agency for the Broncos, and I mean, I think a lot of it had to do, it was their own fault that they lost a lot of those players. It felt like a lot of those players they could have locked up during the season or preseason and got them for a heck of a lot less than what they went for in free agency. And, I mean, you don't know exactly what you're getting throughout the season, but, I mean, if you put your foot out there and give them a little bit of money, then you can definitely grow with them and teach them how you want them to play and things like that. But when you let them go, you have to start from the bottom again and just keep moving up from there, which, I mean, sets back the whole team, I think, personally.
Yeah, you know, I think Malik, I think he might have gone because, you know, they put out, I think, an offer to both him and Derek Wolfe. Now, Derek Wolfe,
yeah,
snatched up the offer. Derek Wolfe, the who's dating that insanely hot former Miss Teen Colorado. So now he's got the woman and he's got the money. Now, Malik Jackson obviously got overpaid by leaving. I think the Broncos, number one, the Broncos don't like to overpay. That's been a big hallmark of John Elway's tenure as the GM. And I think that they thought that they actually have a backup defensive tackle that they drafted 2 years ago that they think is ready to kind of step into the starting role. So I think it was whichever one of these D-tackles takes our deal, and then we'll go ahead and let the backup guy come in. But, you know, we do know from the history of the Giants that you can really never have too many defensive linemen. So, you know, it may work out for them, but it could be a mistake if they lose if DeMarcus Ware decides that it's about time to hang him up.
Well, guys, while we got Matt on the phone, I know he's a big Patriots fan. I was wondering if maybe he could give us – he could give us a little insight into their free agency. There hasn't been a whole lot going on in Patriot Town.
That is true. I mean, they re-signed Weddle, one of their linemen, and obviously you saw they locked Brady up for another couple years, but they got his salary down to just $1 million for the next 2 years, which helps out the team so they can go out and get pretty much whoever they want. But I mean, as of now, they haven't really done a heck of a lot of anything. But
Belichick's
open up his sleeve.
Yeah, Chris Hogan is being signed disaster for Amendola.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean,
well, they're just, you know, the Patriots, they're looking for somebody that fits that system. So they're probably going to sit back and wait for value. You know, everybody's overpaying right now. So I'm sure,
that's,
like you said, Matt, Belichick's got something up his sleeve, and he definitely has some plan. We all know he does.
Well, and that's what the Patriots do. They like to sign guys late in free agency and get good deals. Like, we remember when they signed Darrelle Revis 2 years ago, and they got him for a song. You know, I mean, Belichick knows how to find players that'll fit his system, and when he gets them, or when he can find guys who are not maybe top-flight talent, but who fit what he's looking to do. And that's why the team is going on, 12 years now of being competitive? I mean, it's unreal.
Yeah, they only missed the playoffs, I think, once in this.
And I think they went 11-5 the year that they
Brady went down.
So Matt, where do you think the Patriots need to improve the most? Where should they be focusing?
Definitely offensive line. I mean, you saw against the Broncos that Brady had no time to do anything, really. And, I mean, they did have some injuries this year, but I think offensive line is probably their biggest concern and something they need to improve on this year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
As teams seem to have offensive line problems, the Broncos, the Patriots, the Packers, they're all of them.
I think it's the nature of the beast anymore with how big and fast these players are starting to get.
Could be. Right. You could start seeing more and more blocking coming into the team, which could lead to more and more injuries.
I'm very surprised that the Patriots did not go after Matt Forte and he went to the Jets. I was expecting them to go after him.
I think the Jets went crazy when they lost Ivory to the Jaguars, which, look at the Jaguars. That is impressive.
They have an impressive team right now on paper.
Now, let's be honest. They had to spend money because they were
going
to
get – And they have tons of it to spend.
They were going to get in trouble by the NFL for not spending money. But they brought in Chris Ivory now to pair with T.J. Yeldon.
Yep.
They brought in Malik Jackson to shore up that line. They brought in Tayshaun Gibson to shore up the secondary. Now, I mean, I know bringing in Brad Nortman as a punter is not a big news, but that's another way they could spend some money. And then they also brought in Prince is it Amukamara? I don't know how to say his name. The guy from the Giants. So they brought in two secondary guys, like the Eagles did with three, shoring up that line a little bit. You jump around the Bears, who lost Forte, they picked up Danny Trevathan from the Broncos. They also signed Jaquizz Rodgers, which I didn't know Jaquizz was even still playing. they signed also Tracy Porter, which is a decent cornerback for the Bears. The Lions, they lost Calvin Johnson. He's gone. He did retire. They picked up that ace special teams player, Johnson Batamosi from Cleveland. And then they re-signed Haloti Ngata to keep the line intact, and they signed Marvin Jones. Now, Marvin Jones doesn't replace Calvin Johnson.
No.
But at least they got someone right away, a starting receiver, to make sure that they don't just tumble, let's see. The Browns, I mean, the Browns are bad, the Browns have been bad, and the Browns continue to be bad. I mean, my goodness, they lose Alex Mack, they lose a guard, I can't remember his name. They lost that special teams guy. They cut Johnny Manziel, which, I mean, they had to cut Johnny Manziel. Who the hell is playing quarterback for him? Is it going to be Krapernick?
I think they're going to make a trade for Krapernick. And, I like where the Browns are going, guys. I think they brought in, Dave Podesta to run the organization.
Yeah.
I forget the guy's name.
Yeah, Paul D. Podesta. He was the character amalgamation that they had in that movie. The small ball.
Moneyball.
The character played by Jonah Hill. That's that was Paul D. Podesta.
That's right.
Yeah.
Moneyball. That's a good move. Yeah. I think that's a good move for Cleveland. I think he's a really good mind. I don't know how much he knows about football, but I think he definitely knows how to, spot talent. He knows how to run an organization. But they're starting from ground zero. I like the addition of Hugh Jackson. He's a good young mind, mixes up the formations and is a great play caller. He finds the strengths of his players, and they're gonna obviously Kaepernick is the short term. They're gonna have to draft somebody. I feel like. What do you guys think?
Their history of drafting is so bad.
It's absolutely horrendous.
But I do believe Stephens is a good move because he knows metrics, he knows numbers, he knows stats,
and you got to build from the bottom up.
Yeah, I mean, how many times are they gonna?
Maybe they need to bring Kevin Costner in.
Yeah, no kidding.
He could do a better job than some of these people.
Well, hell, even in that movie, the Browns got shafted. They gave up 3 second-round picks to move up two spots or something. Or get one first-round pick, I did. That was a fun movie, though. Let's see. Titans pick up DeMarco Murray for nothing but swapping fourth-round picks with the Eagles. Is Chip Kelly still there? Is he still making deals?
I think there was a couple cases of corn dogs on the tail end of that trade or something.
Maybe a box of Pepsi syrup or something.
Some tasty cakes. I don't know.
But good news by them. They also signed Richard Matthews. They signed cornerback Bryson Kane, McCann. They signed offensive kind of unheralded. So
I like where the Titans are gone with it.
Yeah, and we know that Mariota, you know, has got a great new coach, quarterback coach, and he should excel a little bit now, and they should be a much better team. They're going to draft some teams.
They do.
Sure,
Is Matt still on the line with us?
Matt actually just got off the line about 2 minutes
ago. Okay. I was just going to ask him about his opinion on the Browns. It's a good – I like where the Titans are going too, guys. You know, young Mariota, they're bringing in some linemen. They're going to be a pretty good team, maybe not this year, but in 2 or 3 years. They're going to be a force to reckon with.
In the right direction. Now, we had two teams that made some big-time splashes in free agency. Start with the Raiders. The Raiders may be the second-best team in the AFC West now. It's very possible.
The Raiders scare me going up against the Broncos. They just flat-out scare me.
They're going to be tough. I mean, they picked up that very versatile offensive lineman, Ravens.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to say his name. Kelechi Osmele. I don't know how you
Kelechi Osmele.
So he was very sought after, and they got him. They also brought in Bruce Irvin, linebacker. Mm-hmm. They were able to sign Sean Smith from the Chiefs. That's a big loss.
That is.
That's gonna hurt.
In division, you don't like losses like that.
Yeah. Having two solid corners is huge. And I don't think they respected him enough because he got burned a little bit. But his job was to take risks because they had the other side locked down.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to hurt. So let's move on to the Giants. Now, go ahead. Oh, never mind. So the Giants signed Big Snack Damon Harrison, the nose tackle. The Jets. Again, the Jets losing him and the Jets losing Ivory. I mean, they played him before, but they lost him. And then they also... they're not close on Fitzpatrick.
They're not. They're, you know, they're way far apart.
I've heard that they've even broken off talk. So
you could very well see Fitzpatrick in Denver too.
That I would love. Fitzpatrick and then Sanchez to back him up. I'd be thrilled with that combination. Fitzpatrick with good receivers is a good quarterback. I don't care what anybody thinks. And so I mean, you know, the Giants pick up the nose tackle. They also get Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback. They get the defensive tackle Damon Harrison for $9 million. They pick up Olivier Vernon, and then they also get the linebacker Keenan Robinson. They spent a fortune, most of it on defense. Their defense is terrible. And now they've got five brand new starters, plus they're going to get a preseason draft pick.
Yeah.
Are they the possible favorite now in the NL East? I mean, are the NFC East? I mean, we know they've got good offensive talent.
Well, I've got a running bet with someone that Tony Romo doesn't want to be the fourth game of the season. it's really all going to depend on basically the Cowboys stay healthy, because Dez and Tony, if they're healthy, I mean, they're dangerous as anybody.
But without them,
they're hard. It's a toss-up right now. The Eagles are going to be a below 500 team. I would say that the Giants are going to be just a hair above 500. The Redskins a hair above 500 again. I don't see anyone really making a big splash in that division right now, this year. It's going to be kind of the same as last year, unless the Cowboys are all healthy for the whole year.
Right. Well, it's too bad that the Redskins didn't have any money.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Well, they had a big opening being the best team in that division.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they could let Alfred Morris go. They're going to have the Johnson, the running back they picked up as a rookie last year. He's going to be good. They've got really good receivers if they can stay healthy.
Right.
You know, still reeling from the Brett Favre interception in the NFC Championship game about 4 years ago. So the Vikings signed the guard Alex Boone, safety Michael Griffin, and two linebackers, Emmanuel Lamour and Travis Lewis. How are you feeling about this?
I like most of the moves they're making, guys. They definitely, like everybody else, they need some help along the offensive line. They are getting their big right tackle, Phil Loadholt, back off. I believe it was an Achilles injury. He was out all of last year. So, you know, I think they're set at tackle. They're also getting their Pro Bowl center back in John Sullivan. So with the addition of Boone and, you know, they've got some young talent at guard, I think that offensive line is going to take a big step forward. You know, they've always been a good run-blocking team, obviously with Adrian Peterson back there and the emergence of Jerick McKinnon. I don't think the running game's going to be slouching. So it's going to be up to it's going to be up to Teddy Bridgewater. Can he take that next step? I do believe they're going to have to bring in another receiver, if not two, and then I think they still need another corner as well. Oh yeah, absolutely, and I'm glad they did. You know, they were paying him way too much money for no production. You know, Stephon Diggs is going to be their number one. You know, he's a big guy, quick out of his routes. You know, they're going to need a speed threat. So they definitely need a couple of receivers. You know, they've got a good tight end. But the defense is young and blossoming. I'm excited about that. But another corner would be a big move for them.
Do you have any kind of a preference for them in the draft, especially in round one? Is there anybody you're looking at?
You know, I like, and I think this is who Mel Kiper is predicting, is that receiver out of TCU. I'm a loss with his name right now. But he's got some downfield speed. Yeah, he's got some downfield speed. I like him. I do think that they need to go receiver in the first round. But like I said, I'd be happy with a cornerback as well. You know, they need some depth. What's that, JP?
I would definitely go with a receiver in the first round for him. I mean, if you
look
at touchdown Titans numbers when it comes to passing touchdowns, I mean, AP carried that team with the points.
And it was disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yeah.
And who was
you know, what they really need, guys, is a kicker. You know, after that performance.
He's playing indoors next year.
The new stadium will be ready. We're excited, man. It's going to be great. It's an outdoor stadium, though.
Yeah,
it is an outdoor stadium.
It is. They have the windows on the sides of the stadium that open wide open.
Okay.
Yep.
The roof stays where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So the end zones are going to be open.
So they did something, though, to make it keep the snow from just completely being
because the field they were playing, I mean, granted, you know, the University of Minnesota doesn't play usually past Thanksgiving. that field is just a horrible field to be on in at the end.
Oh, gosh. You talk about the frozen tundra.
I mean, you're talking wind. You're talking, you know, hard field turf. You're talking everything.
That Seattle game, wasn't it like negative 10 at game time?
Awesome. Yeah, it was about negative 10.
And then
It was.
You know?
I was really shocked that it was that good of a game.
And you see those crazy dudes wearing cut off sleeves and stuff. And you're like,
oh, yeah.
You're going to get hypothermic. There was only a couple other big moves. I mean, there was a lot of other small moves in the NFC West, right? Or AFC West, right?
Yeah.
They see an opening with the Broncos no longer had a great quarterback. Buccaneers brought back Doug Martin. They also brought in Brent Ryan, quarterback. They got Robert Ayers, who I think was the Giants.
I think so.
He plays D-line. And then they also brought in offensive guard J.R. Sweezy. So if we could see our boy
Vincent.
Yeah, if Jameis can step it up this year a little bit. You know, I mean, muscle hamstrings.
Question. And the other thing is can Jameis keep enough crab legs out of his football pants to be competitive.
God knows he's getting paid enough to do that.
I mean, he doesn't have to steal them anymore.
So,
Now, we're going to move into baseball, but do we want to do that after the commercial?
Yeah, let's go into a real quick commercial break, guys. I want to thank StageMediaLLC.com, Kyle Corbel over there, and EKFit.net. Ernie over there will take care of all your needs. We're going to be back right back after the quick commercial.
So, you know, I'm a dog, and I'm kind of new to this family, but I've noticed a trend. My humans do this thing where they go around and get all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A single ember from a wildfire can travel over a mile. Your home is better protected when your whole community is prepared. Visit fireadapted.org to get started. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman.
We need a new stuntman!
You just need feedthepig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
And I'm like, this movie looks pretty awesome.
John Goodman should win Oscar. He's just amazing. I can't really give any of the plot out because it would ruin it.
Right.
All I will say is do not know any spoilers going in. Do not read anything about it. Go in with no knowledge. But for the people who are thinking that it has something or a lot to do with the Cloverfield movie of like 8 years ago, it doesn't. There is supposedly going to be something in the next movie that's either a standalone movie, but it's absolutely one of the few thrillers that's come out in the last 15 to 20 years where it's not laid out in front of you and they actually know how to build. So it's been awesome. Now, so NL West. So,
AL
East. Or AL
East. I mean, NL East. NL, AL, I mean, where are we at?
Well, okay. Somebody pour drinks. It's time. It is St. Patty's Day. Let's get it going. So basically, we're going to start with the Mets, right? Because they are—they've got to be the favorite. Them and the Cubs are pretty much favorite teams in championship.
Nate, what do you? What's your? What do you think about that one?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with Mark's audio. I didn't hear the question.
Oh well, what I was saying was that the question right now has to be: do the Mets have the best pitching staff in all of baseball?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, they've got youth and talent. Obviously, a lot of it will depend on the Dark Knight and Matt Harvey and how he kind of comes back. I know, you know, they were worried about his elbow, but he pitched through the playoffs fine. I think if he comes back and has a strong season, I mean, you're going to see more growth from Jacob DeGrom. He's going to be one of the top five pitchers in the majors. And then obviously Syndergaard has the best fastball, at least the fastest fastball in all of the major leagues. And then Steven Matz, and they're just loaded. So they're going to be as good or better than they were last year.
They are loaded. I mean, Harvey is an unquestioned number one.
I'm looking at the whole staff that they took into spring training, and I'm just like, good Lord.
You know what? We haven't seen a team with 420-game winners since the Phillies, right? Or was it the Mets? It might have been the Mets.
It could have been the Mets. I don't think the Phillies had 420-game winners.
I know the Braves got three.
Yeah, the Braves did have three that one year.
Yeah, when they had Glanville and Maddox and Smoltz. They could have four. They could have four. They could have five. These guys are amazing. Plus, they've got Bartolo Colon to, basically sub in for anybody that gets hurt. So, just an amazing
set. And they're playing in a division that has three god-awful teams, the Phillies, unfortunately, the Braves, and the Marlins.
That's a huge point. There's no reason they shouldn't win 100 games. Let's see. Now, they were able to bring back Luis Cespedes because no one offered him any money.
They didn't, and I can't believe that.
No, I can't either, but there was so many outfielders out there. And, you know, one thing that I was actually talking with Nate and a couple other people about this, about our soon upcoming, about 3 weeks from now, fantasy baseball draft, and that is that there were so many rookies and second-year players that, exploded onto the scene last year, that now the talent is so rich in baseball that that's why Cespedes didn't get a deal. But the Mets have got to be thrilled because now they have him for one more year.
Yeah, we have another caller. Caller, you're on the line with JP and Mark on the Sports Offensive. What is your name and where are you from?
Scott Denver.
Scott, how's it going? Good to hear from you again, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm well. Well, how are you two doing today?
Doing very well, thank you very much.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous day. It's a gorgeous week. St. Paddy's Day on the horizon. So I know that you're a big Mets fan. How are you feeling about the team going into the season?
Real excited, real excited. I can't wait for the first game against the Royals. It's exciting now that they're actually getting out there and playing a little bit. But with all the signings, I'm pretty excited. I'm kind of sorry to hear that Cabrera went down with a little injury, but it doesn't sound too serious. My question is, obviously, with their pitching, what do you think the X factor is this year for the Mets? I know, obviously, that the Cubs are looking pretty strong, and besides the pitching, what do you think is gonna take the Mets to the top again?
Well, they did everything right, in my opinion, in the offseason. I mean, the pitching staff is just only going to get better, and that's the strength. But, you know, Denard behind the plate is a good catcher, good offense. Duda is a little bit of an underachiever, although the power is certainly there for first base. It's going to be painful losing Daniel Murphy, and I know they wish they could have brought him back. But really, Neil Walker is a poor man's Daniel Murphy, and he's younger. And
that's true.
So that's not a bad move. They bring in Asdrubal Cabrera. That's an upgrade over Tejada.
It is.
That David Wright, his last hurrah, basically. Conforto is a busting onto the scene guy, so he's going to only get better. And the last guy in the lineup is Granderson, who, Granderson used to be a speed guy. He's not really anymore. He's certainly not an average guy. He strikes out about 9,000 times a year. But he's become a power guy. So
he is.
I don't see anything that would keep the Mets from being a powerhouse outside of a massive rash of injuries.
That's about all I can see. If they have a massive rash of injuries.
Scott asked about what the X factor would be, guys. And for me, it would be bridging that gap from the starters to Familia. You know, that bullpen. Are they going to be able to hold the lead? You know, how deep can those starters go into the game? You know, I mean, if they're pitching 7-8 innings, and they can go straight to Familia, that's going to make life pretty easy. But if they're, their pitch counts are high and they're coming out of the game in the fifth and the sixth, can that bullpen hold the lead till they get to the ninth? I think that's going to be the major X factor, whether they can beat those top-tier teams in the National League like the Cubs. What do you think about that, Scott?
I think you're dead on there. I know we have Addison Reed. I think he's pinned in as the eighth inning guy. We picked up one of the old closers from Pittsburgh. I'm not quite sure the gentleman's name. It starts with a B. He hasn't done too well here in spring training so far. That's my main concern. Seventh and eighth inning.
Are you talking about Bastardo?
I'm sorry?
Are you talking about Bastardo?
Bastardo, yes. There you go. Thank you. I'm not quite. I don't know too much about him yet. I heard he's been pretty solid, but he's not even penciled in as our eighth inning guy. So I know Addison Reed's there. Bastardo. We got a couple other guys. Blevins coming off injury. So that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, Addison Reed is a good eighth inning guy. I like that a lot. I think it's annoying that they don't have Mejia, that he was stupid enough to get a lifetime ban. They could have really used his arm to really kind of solidify that bullpen. But if Zach Wheeler is healthy and able to come back and really play, you could see Bartolo Colon becoming that sixth, seventh inning guy. And we know Bartolo can throw 800 innings in a season, and he doesn't seem to have any problem. So, you know, I don't see any problems with them. I mean, I think that you got to figure that they and the Cubs are the dominant forces for their divisions. And then the NL West is kind of wide open. You're going to see Giants. You're going to see Diamondbacks. You're going to see Dodgers. And then the Central, you're going to also have the Cardinals and Pittsburgh, along with the Nationals in the East. So, you know, you've got some good teams overall, but I think for sure the Mets have got to be, if not the Cubs, the favorite to win the entire thing. The whole National League.
I've got some numbers on Bastardo. 7 years in the league, career ERA of 3.58, 12 saves, and 388 strikeouts. So, you know, he's definitely an addition for him.
3.58 left-hander. That's good.
Yeah, his ERA for last year was 2.98.
Even better.
Yeah.
I mean, he's getting up there in age, but you know what? When it comes to the relievers, you know, it's a year-to-year thing anyway.
It is.
So, but the team looks dominant to me. I just, you know, the only thing I think I would worry about for them, and this is a long-term thing, not next year, is whether or not Cespedes opts out of his deal after the first year
right.
and leaves. But then the Mets may have they may have more guys in the minors to come up and take his spot with one more year of season. So overall, I just think they got a great team here. Scott, was there anything else you wanted to add in about your boys?
No, that was awesome. I appreciate you guys answering my question. Thank you.
You bet,
thanks,
man.
Thank you
for calling in. Thanks for calling, Scott.
Thank you.
So the number two team in the NL East, you know, without question, and the only other team that's competing, is the Washington Nationals. Now, this is a disappointing team. This is a team that has not done what it was supposed to do.
No.
Now, Bryce Harper did have an MVP year last year.
He did.
He calls himself the best player in baseball. He doesn't mince words.
No, he does not at all.
Which is a little annoying, but you know, when you're 23 and you've won an MVP, it's hard not to think a lot of yourself. Now, here's the big thing. Now, Steven Strasburg, guy comes out onto the bust onto the scene as a rookie, amazing. Second year, great, tears his UCL.
Yep.
Comes back from the UCL, is pitching amazing, and they sit the guy on a year they should have won the World Series, and they've never been as quite a good a team since.
No, they haven't.
Even after they brought in Gio Gonzalez and Max Scherzer to pitch with him, still can't do it. Now, this is Strasburg's walk year. This is it. This is the big year where he's going to try and get his 8-9-year contract for $200-something million.
Yep.
What do you think? Does he find his Cy Young form again?
Absolutely.
Nate, you want to field that one quick?
Yeah, I think that's the big question for the Nationals. You know, I think they're flying under the radar this year a little bit, Mark. You know, the last couple of years they've been the favorite with that pitching staff, especially last year with the addition of Scherzer. So I think if that offense can score runs, they're going to be good. You know, Scherzer, Strasburg, you know, you asked about Strasburg. He had a big second half last year. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest question with him right now
is injuries. You know, if the guy can stay healthy, he seems to be a force. So it is a contract year for him. You know, if he's healthy, I think we're looking at a big year. So I think he could be a steal in the fantasy draft as well, Mark.
Yeah, I think, I mean, because he could go as late as the third or fourth round even, for, you know, because he just kind of faltered. And I think he's going to be, he might be a high speculation pick, though, because of the fact that his numbers, although they weren't great last year, the peripherals were good. And this is his number, his age 27 years. This is kind of the year where players bust out. And really, he needs to bust out this year, because if he doesn't bust out this year, he's starting to hit that thing where he's going to start looking at a decline, you know, kind of thing in terms of a pitcher. You know, and he hasn't logged that many innings. He's got 700 innings career on him. But he's never had that big, big season, that big winning season. The ERA was obviously amazing that year where he got sat down and his numbers were all fantastic. So, you know, maybe he does it again. His wins above replacement or WAR, which is kind of the big love stat from all the stat geeks these days in baseball. Trout has always had great numbers. That number needs to be high this year. He needs to be a Kershaw, a Greinke, a Sonny Gray, I don't even know who else would Jake Arrieta, a Dallas Keuchel, Keuchel, that'd do something. Now the other,
he threw three strong innings last night as the Nats topped the Mets in preseason baseball, 9-5 on Friday. So he's throwing strong right now.
Yeah,
is all the reports you're getting out of the Grapefruit.
I mean, he did only have 23 starts last year,
yep.
So that's a little concerning. Another big player they have is on the offensive side is Anthony Rendon. Now, 2 years ago, this guy just kind of shocked the baseball world by just coming out of nowhere and being just absolutely dominant. I mean, power, speed, average, everything. Last year, injuries, and didn't do anything. So, you know, what are you thinking, Nate? Where do you think we see him drafted in fantasy drafts? Is he drop to like the eighth round, perhaps?
I think that's a pretty good perception. I think anywhere between the sixth and the ninth. Yeah, it's funny, Mark. I mean, he was, what, a second, third rounder last year? I saw a lot of people taking him towards the end of the first, even, you know, in mock drafts. So, yeah, he had a huge year the year before. So, you know, if he can return to prominence and, you know, if young Harper can bring what he did last year, boy, they're going to be a challenge to the Mets. Both those starters. I mean, the Strasburg's at 100% and Scherzer is 100%. I mean, they're as good one-two punch as anybody. So that's going to be the Mets' biggest challenge.
Yeah, Tanner Ward, Joe Ross, Gio Gonzalez make up for a real nice pitching staff. You know, I mean, Daniel Murphy, if he produces, and Ben Revere, if he produces, and if Worth can have one more old man gray beard long in the tooth season, boy, it would be a good lineup. We could see a 1-2 punch of 95-win teams coming out of that division, and it's going to be really bummer for whoever gets the wild card, because then you're that one game and done. But then you also got to say, perhaps, if you've got one of these two teams make the wild card, Matt Harvey or Strasburg, you know, pitching your one game and in wild card is not a bad proposition. So let's move on to the also-rans, and you never know. A team can always bust out, but let's be honest, we don't see anything happening here. The team that has the best chance of doing something or maybe surprising would be the Marlins. Now, the Marlins have done two things. They brought in Barry Bonds as a hitting coach, which is going to be interesting to see, because Bonds was one of the most talented hitters I've ever seen, and really talented players are not always good coaches. They don't.
Very true.
You know what I mean? Like, it was like with Jordan wouldn't be a good coach because he doesn't know how to tell people how to be great. He, you know, if you're already great, then you're just building on that.
Singletary, perfect example.
Exactly. You know, you can't teach someone talent.
Right.
So you need someone who had to grunt and earn their way through. That's why Larry Bird, I think, was good, right? Because he knew how to tell people. Now, they also have Mattingly as their manager. Now, a team with weak egos is what you have here. Maybe he's successful
as opposed to what he was with the Dodgers, where he couldn't handle the personalities. He got a lot of young guys, a lot of Hispanic guys. So maybe Mattingly Lee can actually do something there. What do you guys think?
It wouldn't surprise me if he does. I mean, God, I look at any baseball team, Major League Baseball team in Florida, and they're just not going to get the attendance they're going to want. And the revenue's always down, and it's just because there's so much good minor league. And I've mentioned this before, minor league baseball in the state. And I don't know about this team. This team is just
basketball, beaches.
Yeah. It's just like Boulder. There's so much to do. It's hard to say. I mean, they definitely have some talent on the team, but they always seem to falter at the biggest points of when they're playing, when they need to get on a streak.
But then you also see what's kind of weird about them is that the Marlins of that team has won two World Series out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. They really have. And, I mean, it came out of completely nowhere.
Yeah. Now, I've actually heard a crazy rumor that Tim Lincecum from the Giants, who's been an up-and-down guy after being a dominant two-time Cy Young Award winner, he's still a free agent.
He is.
And they're talking that maybe they could bring him in to close for the Marlins, which he might be good out of the bullpen. You know, I mean, he did that for the Giants in the playoffs. It'd be interesting to see. Now, the pitching staff is, you know, it starts with Jose Fernandez.
Hello, did I lose you guys? Hello? Can't hear anybody. Can you guys hear me?
And we're back on air. This is the Sports Offensive with JP and Mark. We are live from Veranda High Point apartment complex. I do apologize. We had massive internet failure here at the apartment complex.
Yeah, folks, that was a internet service provider problem. That was not us.
No, it just everything went down.
The wireless, the LAN.
I mean, I haven't seen anything like that in a while.
Yeah, so
Nate, do we got you on the phone?
Yep, I'm on, guys.
All right.
Well,
All right.
We've got a few minutes left. We were just doing our NL East preview. So, you know, we'll go ahead and jump past the Marlins. We kind of already reviewed them. So we got the Braves and the Phillies.
Well,
so just to make sure we get – go ahead, Nate.
I think the Jeffrey Luria lookalike is just planning for his next fire sale. Isn't that the owner of the Marlins?
Yeah. I mean, D. Gordon, G. Stanton, Prado, Ozuna, Yelich. I mean, they could – Real Muto, they could – and Jose Fernandez, they could trade them all. They could trade them all and restock the farm system if they win a World Series this year.
I'd like to say something real quick. The Phillies have just won six in a row in the Grapefruit League.
Wow, that means
– Hey.
I know. They're 8-3 right now.
Well, the difference is, of course, in spring training with the Phillies, they're playing their starters, whereas
everybody else is playing.
Everybody else is playing their minor leaguers.
Yeah.
So the Phillies, let's go into them real quick. So Ryan Howard. Now I don't know if anybody knew about this. He has been having some serious legal issues, not necessarily him.
Right.
So the first one is family members from the Dominican, I think. Are laying claim to his salary, which I don't know why they think they deserve that. But he's been fighting them in court, finally settled with them. No one knows the numbers, but you know he's got to be pissed, right? Because you're making millions doing this. You're
I
have to give you?
He's coming down to the tail end of his career.
Yeah, this is probably his last year playing for a professional team. Maybe DH somewhere in the AL next year for a little while. The other thing is he had the same thing happen to him that Peyton Manning did. Defamation lawsuits with Al Jazeera.
Yep.
Al Jazeera is now defunct in the United States, which why any network from the Middle East thought they had any chance of surviving here with our
I've always wondered that.
Public is amazing. I mean, they actually had great reporting, but when you have a name like that and you have an Islamic-looking logo in America, really, do you think that we're not bigots enough to not want to follow you? So we knew that was going to happen. Anyway, they made claims of HGH against him, just like they did, like they did against Manning, and he's suing them for that. Cliff Lee, you talked about him last week.
I did.
Now his agent's saying probably going to retire.
Yeah, now he's going to I'd say he's going to retire. I don't see him coming back unless something miraculous happens. He's another guy that's up there. I mean, all those aces they had back in 2008 and 9 when they made the World Series run are all now up there in age.
And it seems so. I mean, you say 2008, 2009. It seems like that was just a couple years ago.
I feel like it was a couple years ago that I was sitting at the bank watching this team.
It's like 8 years.
I know.
Isn't that wild?
It is.
Man, we're getting old. So the big stud they have right now is I don't know if it's Michael or Makel Franco, third baseman. Came on the scene last year. Had a great year. He's pretty much all the focus of everything.
He is. I mean, Franco had a great year last year. I remember sitting at Coors Field watching him. You know, he was just playing around in the dugout and was having fun. And, you know, he knows he's on a bad team right now, and they're rebuilding everything.
And, you know, I don't know if it's a bad thing because you look at the small market teams like who do you have? You have like the Devil Rays or the Cubs were or the Astros, things like that. And if you've got 4 or 5 years where you have – a really bad record, and you're getting a top 3 or 4 pick, and you're getting an early pick in the second round, as well as getting a supplemental pick between the first and the second round when you let your veterans go. You know, if you do that for 4 or 5 years, and you're getting 3 players out of the top 90, right? Do that for 5 years, you know, you've got 15 players. If you hit on 10 of those 15, there's your team.
Well, when Kurt Landis was on 2 weeks ago, he did mention that the Phillies do have some of the top prospects in the minor leagues right now.
Absolutely. They
do. And that's where you really have to rebuild. I mean, you could spend a boatload of money and bring in a bunch of old talent and do the one-hit wonders. If you're not going to rebuild from the farm system, I mean, you're not going to be up there consistently.
I mean, even the Dodgers have been talking about that. Their new president that came over from the Devil Rays and then the guy that came over from the Alex Adopoulos or whatever his name was that came over from the Blue Jays, they were like, you know what? People were mad we didn't spend a whole bunch of money in the offseason, but we're not doing it that way. We've been building our farm system up. We're going to be a long-term competitive team and fill in the holes with free agency, not the team. It was a quick fix for those couple of years. Go ahead.
I think there's 3 teams out there that have been a great example of that. The Tampa Bay Rays, the Kansas City Royals, and the Houston Astros. All of them were just abysmal for quite a long period of time. You know, you saw Tampa Bay, their window kind of has come and gone, although they still have some really great talented pitchers. They were so bad for so long, they were able to stockpile arms, and then Kansas City, obviously, more recently, and now the Astros, you're seeing them do the same blueprint. So I think the Phillies are trying to follow that.
And the Mets and the Cubs, even. I mean, both of those teams, that's how they got to be stellar performers, and the Cubs came out of nowhere, basically, because all their players just kind of forced their way into the majors. And so I think this can work out well. I think they're going to be good. You know, the Twins are actually a good example, too, because Miguel Sano, or Sano, and then they have Buxton coming out, and they have that – I can't remember the name of that pitcher. There's a pitcher in the minors who's probably going to make the break this year who's looking really good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it does work. You know, you can build a nice core, and you can come back. Now – the Braves or the other
team? I wish the Rockies could learn from that.
Well, you see, the problem there is you have to have a good scouting team, and they won't pay for scouts. And there's other teams put money into scouting.
Yeah.
And the Rockies just are like, oh, as long as the fans keep showing up, we don't have to do anything. And, you know, Mumford's sitting there, you know, laughing into the Monopoly money, you know, and saying, like, look at these idiots. I'm going to build a big bar on the top of this thing instead of spending any money, and I'll make money because it's a big event. And it works. They're
I
making
think that's
money.
What they should do is build another. They should just build another sky deck. Screw free agents.
Yeah, they should just get rid of all the press boxes and all the club seats and just put in all bars.
But if you look at a lot of their club level seating, it's usually sitting empty.
It is because it's expensive, and who's going to pay money to?
And
go
I'm
see
talking
a
even the luxury suites are sitting empty a lot.
Oh well, yeah, well, who's going to pay? You know, I mean,
I never whenever I go there, I never see anybody in most of them on the end of the baseline.
Nope.
Why would you see it?
Why would you? I mean, you're watching such a bad product. Let's just try and hit the Braves here. I think we've only got, 2 or 3, 4 minutes?
Yeah, we got a little over 4 minutes.
Okay, so the Braves were a team that thought they were going to be competing a couple of years ago, and pretty much have jettisoned everything. I mean, Nick Markakis and Michael Bourne are two of their three outfielders who are just abysmal. Now, they did... Well, they are. Their pitching staff, after you get past Julio Tejeda, is just... is almost as bad. I mean, Whistler, Foletinowicz, however you say his name, Benuelos, and Bud Norris, the failed Houston Astro. I mean, it's just nothing. But here's one thing they did that was smart, and that was they turned Jason Hayward into a pretty good set of players. They picked up Dansby Swanson, Aaron Blair, and Ender Inciarte, who they all traded for Shelby Miller, and they got Shelby Miller by trading away Jason Hayward. So in the end, they traded away an overrated and underproducing outfielder, Jason Hayward, who somehow got a lot of money from the Cubs, and turned him into three players that can actually help the team going. You know, add some good draft picks over the next couple of years. You could see this whole division being strong, really, outside of the Nationals, in 4 years.
I could see that.
I think the best move the Braves could make right now would be to trade Freddie Freeman for some young talent while he's still in his prime.
Yep, get him out of there. We got like 2 minutes. You want to hit some hockey?
Yeah, we got a little over. We're almost 3 minutes there. Let's hit some hockey real quick. We have some really exciting wild card races going on right now. In the Eastern Conference, Pittsburgh and Detroit are in there at 7-8. Pittsburgh has 78 points. They won last night. Detroit has 77 points. They won last night. First team out is the Philadelphia Flyers at 75 points. They're on a three-game winning streak right now. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty end of the season here. A lot of good games going to be coming up. If you look at the Western Conference, our Colorado Avalanche are at 74 points. Probably not going to catch Nashville ahead of them at 81 points, but Minnesota is breathing down their backside at 72 points. And I know they play Minnesota coming up here pretty darn soon.
Wild, that's their Achilles heel.
It really is. So we have some really exciting playoff races going on. We're just going to read down this real quick. We're running out of time here. Your top leaders in all divisions are Washington at 103 points, Dallas, Boston, and L.A. at 84 points. L.A. at the
Kings?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're in first at 84 points, so obviously a down division. Jake Oseberg is climbing up the rookie standings as a defenseman. All the other people, he ranks fifth in points, age 22 with the Flyers. All the other people in front of him right now, four players, they're all forwards. I want to just mention some real good college hockey. I'll be at Magnus Arena tonight. DU is looking to close out Omaha, Nebraska to move on to the next round of their conference finals, or conference quarterfinals, I should say. And we had thriller last night. Wisconsin goes into Minnesota, and in one of the craziest finishes you're going to see in all of college hockey, where two offsides were called on goals being scored. Wisconsin upsets Minnesota in their own building, in their barn, after Minnesota was down more than 2 points in that game. So I just wanted to close down with some real exciting hockey. Remember, the Golden State Warriors did drop 81 points in the first half last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. I want to thank everyone, Nate, Marcus, everyone out there that called into the radio show for listening. We apologize
Scott, Matt, Rigner. And Captain Chavez.
Captain Chavez. We want to apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm going to actually go talk to the front office to see what happened with that. Just want to thank everybody for listening. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Please like the show, and you can listen to it on demand anytime you want. Thanks, and have a good day, sports fans.